And I wanted to specifically talk about reaching more people online and specifically using Facebook ads and content and that kind of, you know, that content creation strategy of how do I reach more people. And one of the concepts that I want to bring up, and before we all panic, you think this is something else that we need to learn this weekend, this is actually, I'm going to show you in a minute, this is just the machine, it's just in a different format. Okay, so whenever we're thinking about our marketing, it's broken down into one of three things, either attraction, acquisition, or ascension. So when we're talking ascension, that is all the students that are in your studio already, okay? So they've purchased from you at least once, and the marketing that surrounds the ascension ecosystem is more around how do I nurture that? How do I keep them coming back? When we look at the acquisition ecosystem in the middle, what we're looking at is how do I make them purchase from me the first time? So this is how do I get them into that first class that they're purchasing? This is not you know, necessarily trials, but it's, you know, the first time they actually buy from me. How do I make that happen? And then if we look at the attraction ecosystem, this is more about how do I create awareness around what I'm doing. So if we're thinking about all the marketing that we do in our studios, we need to be thinking every time I create something, am I doing this to attract new people? Am I doing this to attract people who are on my database but haven't, you know, come to a class yet? Or am I doing this to nurture the students that have already got in my studio? And everything you should create needs to have a purpose. There's no point in just putting a newsletter out and just hoping that someone gets something out of it, okay? So we need to make sure that everything has a purpose. So when we break this down, we're looking at, in the attraction, we're looking at nurturing want. We want people to want to come along. We want to get them involved. We want them to feel part of the family. But this is all about want. When we're looking at acquisition, this is where you're nurturing inquiries. And this is a lot of what we've just gone through in the machine, right? So this is all about that nurturing component of how do we make them you know, want to come along and purchase their first lesson. And then in ascension, this is all about nurturing your students, your retention, your you know, your leadership, your team development, all the sort of things that are going in here. And the reason that I want to bring this up, even though we're only going to be talking about traction today, is because we're talking about purpose. And every time you create something, every time it's an ad, every time you create a bit of content, I want you to think about which one of these buckets it falls into. What are you trying to do with that piece of content, with that Facebook ad? Because it might not always be attracting brand new people. It may be people who have come along to a trial class and, you know, 6 months ago and haven't come on yet. And the way that you approach that is different to a completely cold person who doesn't even know if it's ballet they want their child to do yet. It's really, really important because when it comes to marketing, everything that you need to keep in mind is it's about know, like, and trust. And the fact and how the know, like, and trust develops as you go through those three sections, right? So the level of know, like, and trust someone has for you when they don't even know who you are is significantly different from when they're already a student, okay? So we need to start thinking about how much do they know, like, and trust me when they're going to see this piece of content, when they're going to see that ad. And what does that level of know, like, and trust do to the piece of content that I'm going to put out there, right? They don't know who I am. I need to start there. I need to tell them who I am. I need to tell them what I do. If they've come along to a class and they decided now's not the right time, they know who you are. They're probably the know factor is quite high, but do they like you? Do they trust you? Maybe that's the factors you need to be working on. And then we've got the added, you know, obstacles of risk, objections, and beliefs. Okay, so what we're talking about here is that if you go to the supermarket and you're standing at the checkout and it's taking a while and you see this yummy chocolate bar and you've never had this chocolate bar before, you don't know anything about this chocolate bar, but you know what, it looks a bit yummy, so I'm going to buy it, okay? The reason that you do that is because the risk of purchasing it is a lot lower than the what you might get out of it if you eat that chocolate bar and it tastes really good, okay? So, you know, when people are buying these kind of, you know, these things that don't take a lot of thought, they don't need to know the company. They don't need to like the company. They don't necessarily need to trust the chocolate bar company, because the level of risk and the objections are really, really minimal. So whenever we're doing marketing, we need to think about how high are the risks, the perceived risks. And I'm not just talking about physical risk. I'm talking about emotional risk, about social risk. How will people think if I was to buy this? We need to think about the objections. I don't know if he'd really want his son to be doing ballet. Maybe I'll get him to do something else. You know, soccer's probably better. We need to think about what all these objections are. And also their beliefs as well. Like, maybe they had a bad experience when they were little, and they've got some belief about why this class wouldn't be right for their child. Or perhaps if they're going to an adult class, they've done it before and they didn't enjoy it. So there are all the sorts of beliefs that you need to overcome. And again, as we're going through the three sections, you have to understand how that changes. Because right at the beginning, you're talking a lot more about those kind of questions around, we're talking more about, you know, questions around, right in the beginning, sorry, let me get my train of thought there. It's more about those top-level questions. So we're thinking about things before they even get into the studio. And then we're thinking about acquisition. So we're thinking about trial classes, the studio experience, the general experience. So we're thinking about the emails. What do they say? How do they make us feel? And the way that you move between the three sections is a lead here is when they inquiries, okay? So as soon as they... This is all your Facebook ads, and we're going to go through this in more detail. As soon as they inquire and they get onto your database, they show interest, then they're moving into the acquisition stage. So here, all your marketing, all of your experience is around what happens in the trial class, the studio experience, you know, the individual experience. And then as soon as they've purchased from you the first time, then you're talking about retention, your culture, your team, all the things you've been going through this weekend. And obviously, the questions change. So if we're talking specifically about attraction, we're thinking of things, if you guys can see that. There are so many things I could put her into. Why should I pick ballet? How young is too young to start music lessons? I want to put her into some kind of class, but she's so shy. You know, these are the sort of things they're thinking about before they even know about your studio. And so when you're attracting new people into your studio, these are the sorts of things that you need to be thinking about. Because it's all well and good for us just to put up an ad that talks about, this is how wonderful my studio is, and come dance with us. But what you might be missing out on is the fact that they've got objections, they've got beliefs, they've got perceived risks that haven't been overcome. And so even though they see your ads for your studio, there's still kind of that, oh, well, maybe I'll click later. I'll have a look later. Because for them, they're not there yet. They're not ready to kind of commit to the experience of being part of your studio necessarily. They're still in that kind of awareness stage. Okay, so to bring all that back, really that's the machine. We're just talking about it from a content perspective, okay? Now, if we look at the beginning of the machine that we've just gone through in the last session, we're really talking about Facebook ads, your local ads, your Google searching, and where they go when they land, okay? So that's what we're going to be talking about in more detail today.
Yeah. I'm sorry to interrupt you.
That's okay.
All these slides, can they be available
to us? Yeah.
On a Facebook page or something?
Yes. Okay. Sorry. I talk really quickly too, so if there's anything that anyone gets stuck on at one point, I guess I'm trying to go briefly over that section because it is the machine in a different way, and I want you to see it as the machine, but instead of thinking it as parts and pieces and technology, I want you to start thinking it in terms of conversation. Okay, so how does the conversation change every time you get into a new one of those sections? So when you're talking about your nurture emails for when they're about to come to their first class, how is that different from when they commit to a month? Or, you know, if someone's already in your studio and you want to encourage them to bring a friend, that communication is so different from, you know, just, you know, here's my studio, you don't know who I am, but here's all the information. So all I want you to start thinking about when you're building out your machine is, how does it look like from a content perspective? How does the risk, the objections, the beliefs change? How does the level of know, like, and trust change as you communicate with them more? So if we're specifically talking about the attraction stage, which in the machine was that very first section, your circles, going to your website, it's not always that simple, right? So it's not always as simple as someone coming to your, you know, seeing your ad in their newsfeed, them clicking on it, them going to your website, them filling out the inquiry form, and then you call them. It's not always that simple, right? There's all these things in the middle that might happen. It may be to do with know, like, and trust. It might be the risks, objections, and beliefs. Maybe they're just not ready to commit. But one of the things we need to think about when we're thinking about attraction is that we can't think so linear. We can't think everybody's just going to see our Facebook ad, they're going to click it, they're going to visit our website, and they're going to fill in the trial. Because yes, some people will, but that just because others don't doesn't mean they're any less valuable to us. It just means that we didn't answer one of the questions that they had, or that they've still got things that are unanswered that means that they can't commit. Because what you have to remember, when anyone submits their name and email address to you, it's getting more and more valuable, right? How many times now do you take a second guess or, you know, a second thought before you submit your email address? Even for free things, you know, win a holiday, win a this, come along to our free event, do this. You're starting to click now, right? You're realizing the value of giving your information away. And you have to think about that for your students and the parents of students as well, is that just because they click on your ad or they don't click on your ad and they don't get through this process, it doesn't mean that they're not interested. So the purpose of online marketing, when we're specifically talking about attraction, has got more to do with using it to guide the conversation. We're guiding the conversation to the point where we've built enough know, like, and trust, and we've overcome enough of the risk, objections, and beliefs to move on, okay? And ultimately, marketing is not about selling. It's about education. And that's why your Facebook ads or your content are so important for people who don't know who you are. So how can we use Facebook ads for attraction? So we can use Facebook ads to promote your studio to your local area or your local areas if you're in several places. And we call this cold traffic. And the reason we call it cold traffic is because they don't know who you are. They've got no like and trust. They're completely new to you. They don't like or dislike you any more than they like your competitor down the road. Okay? Then we can promote your studio to people who visited your website, which we talked about in the last session with the machine, the retargeting. They're warm traffic. Why are they warm? Because now they know you, right? They may know your competitors as well, but their level of know, like, and trust has now progressed further than the cold traffic people, okay? But they're still attraction. They still haven't committed to us yet. And then we've got promoting your activity to the local area. Now, what I mean by that is that you're promoting the benefits of ballet or the benefits of kinder music or the benefits of private piano lessons, whatever your activity may be. So for people who may not be decided on, I'm going to put her into ballet, that doesn't mean that they're not an ideal person for your studio, right? It just means that they haven't gotten enough information yet to make a decision between you or between the other studio or the other one that does this or the stuff that's being suggested at school. So we can also use Facebook ads. They're cold traffic. They don't know who you are. But they're at another level again where they're still deciding on whether, you know, your activity is even the best thing for them. And then we've got multiple awareness levels, like I said. So you've got they're looking for the class, or they've just been thinking about doing something. And you might not choose to do both. You may have others that are relevant to your studio. But what I want you to start thinking about is where are people at when I start to advertise to them? Are they all at exactly the same level? Are they all actively looking for exactly the classes that I'm promoting? Or are there things that I can be doing that will allow them to make a decision that doing that thing at my studio is a good idea? So you want to think about which ones, which awareness levels are there available, which ones are open to you, but also which ones do you want to bother with? Maybe you think it's not worth the education that's involved in convincing someone that their daughter should do ballet over soccer. Maybe it's just not worth it, or maybe that's not where you start. So if you're already running ads and you're seeing quite good success with them, you might want to move into this other area. However, if you're just starting your ads, you may just want to pick one and just run with it. So let's put this into context a little bit more. So before we do, I'm going to go through an example, which is basically going to put all this into context, because I know that I'm talking about a lot of, you know, overarching things here. But just remember that it's always about purpose. So your Facebook, the only job of your Facebook ad is to get that click. So don't focus on trying to put all the information in there, the prices, the class times, all the class types. You know, a lot of people in the Evolution Call, we've talked about, you know, it's almost like the Ripple projects, right? Just choose one class. What's the class that's most likely to get people interested in my studio? Because once I get them in, I can teach them about all the other classes I do or the other age groups that I do. But if I'm just focusing on, I just need to get the click. That's the only thing that the ad needs to do right now is get the click. What do I need to say? What do I need to do to get that click? Okay, so don't try to do too much with your Facebook ads, because what will end up happening is there'll be too much information. It's not gonna make sense. They're gonna go, wait, do I go to this thing, or am I clicking here, or am I doing this? And you're talking about this, but the picture's about something else. And wait, so you do jazz and ballet, or is it, wait, and you've got the music. They're just gonna get too confused, right? So just pick one thing. You can do multiple ads. You can promote multiple classes separately. Just try not to do too much things with one ad. The job of the page that they land on, which most of the time is not going to be the homepage of your website, is to educate and convert, you know, which is what you guys have been talking about, you know, for the past couple of days now. So the reason that normally I will not send an ad to the homepage of a website is because there's too many options. There's too many distractions. There's too many things they can click. There's too many ways for them to get lost. You know, I want them to click, and then I want to educate them enough for them to convert. So what do I need to do in order to make that happen? Maybe that means that I create another page on my website that summarizes what the studio is about and the main class that I was promoting in the ad, and I get them to sign up for the inquiry form. Now, once I get them on the phone or I do the follow-up emails, that's when I can tell them about everything else. But right now, the job of the page is to educate and convert. And when I say convert, in this instance, we're talking about an inquiry or a submission of a form for a free trial, whatever it is that gives you the avenue to be able to contact them personally, okay? So what I'm gonna do, because that was a lot of information, and this really is the key of what we're gonna go through, is I've got an example here, and I'm going to go through from an ads and a content perspective how it works in real time, okay? So this is my story. Sally's thinking of enrolling Lucy into ballet lessons. She didn't do ballet as a kid, but her friends all talk about how much fun their daughters have. Her friends are a bit far to travel, so she wonders what is near her. She does a Google search and finds three in the local area, A, B, and C. She visits all three websites. They all look great, but decides she doesn't have enough time to go through them all properly right now. She'll take a look again later when she has more time. Now, how many times have we said that? Sitting outside school waiting for pickup the next day, she's browsing Facebook when she sees an ad pop up for Studio C. It's promoting an article on the power of ballet for primary children. And it's got some kids Lucy's age smiling at her. She clicks and she reads about ballet, how ballet helps children build new friendships, builds confidence, and helps with coordination. She notices at the bottom a promotion for a free trial class. She clicks on the page, but before she can read it, Lucy comes running over to tell her about her school day. Later that night, Sally has just put Lucy to bed and is relaxing on the couch. She's scrolling through her friend's posts when an ad for Studio C pops up again. This time, it's reminding Sally to book her free trial before the promotion ends. It reminds her she didn't get a chance earlier, so now she has peace. She clicks and completes the form, excited to let Lucy know in the morning what she'll be doing next Wednesday after school. So when you see it in the context of this, you can see how content and Facebook ads made a difference to the narrative of this story. So what could have happened without Facebook ads? So I'm putting it out to you guys. What could have happened in this scenario had Studio C not used Facebook ads? Yep.
When she finally got around to going back to look at Studio, she might have chosen another one.
Yeah. Yeah. She would have joined soccer. You see, there's a lot of variables in this example. Okay, there's three in the local area, not just one, so now she's got choice, okay? They all look great. She hasn't found anything different about them yet. She didn't have time. She doesn't have enough time to go through them all now. Now, especially if you're targeting parents, or I mean, even adult classes, it's the same, right? I mean, I'll do this later, and later it turns into 3 weeks from now, and suddenly they're, you know, got something else to do. She's sitting outside school waiting for pickup the next day, and she's browsing Facebook. She didn't take this opportunity to go back to the three websites and look at them more. That wasn't even on her mind. She was browsing Facebook, right? And even later at night, she's relaxing on the couch. The last thing she wants to do is browse those three websites. No, she just wants to like all the cat pictures and the dog pictures and the, you know? Like, that's what we do when we're relaxing it, right? We're not researching websites. It's just not fun. So how do we guide the conversation? How did we guide the conversation instead of allowing Sally to guide the conversation here? Yep.
The Facebook pixel.
Exactly. So all of a sudden, we're able to guide the conversation. Anything else?
The reminders.
Yep.
Good SEO in the first place to make sure she's one of the top
three. Exactly. She's one of the top three. So if we look at it here, we guided the conversation right from when that ad popped up for Studio C promoting the article about the power of ballet. Now, I'm not saying that every ad has to be an article, that she couldn't have just used an ad for her studio here. That's not what I'm saying. The reason I put the article first here was to give you an example, because Sally has never done ballet before, right? So I'm making the assumption here that there is still risk, objection, and beliefs that need to be overcome, right? She's thinking about ballet. Her friend said it was a good idea, but she's not really one way or the other yet, right? Okay, this is still the thinking about it stage for her. So putting this article in first, what it allowed her to do was realize that ballet helps children build new friendships, it builds confidence, and it helps with coordination, right? So what we're doing is we're reinforcing the behavior that she's already done. We're reinforcing the fact that she's looking at ballet lessons for Lucy is a good idea, because this is what's going to do for her child, okay? So that's where content can come into the mix here. Now, if we'd taken the first part of this story out and we'd ran ads straight to cold traffic, right? So if we'd run ads just to the local area and we'd done it with this article, it probably would have had the same effect, right? People who are thinking about things, but they're not ready to make a commitment yet, what can we do to get them over the line? What kind of education can we do that goes, you know what, let's just give it a go and see how it goes, rather than thinking about it for another 6 months? Because when you just run ads that are just talking about your studio, even if it's promoting something great like a free trial or, you know, grab 10 classes, get 2 free, all those sort of great things, you see the value in that, but if they're not sold yet, they're not going to, even though it's a great deal. So by adding content into the mix, it just helps sweeten it for them. And in terms of guiding the conversation, we noticed that Lucy interrupted her here, running over to tell her how school went. So even though she clicked on that trial class form, she didn't complete it. And so we were able to remind her that she didn't complete the form, not just that she'd been on her website, but that she didn't finish the form. And people hate leaving things undone. Okay, so the fact that this ad is reminding her she didn't complete the form, she's going to go back and complete the form. Yep.
So the reminder, was that the embed, or was that just because that was the next ad in the sequence?
No. So the way that the second ad worked here, where it's reminding her to fill in the free trial, is because we've got a pixel on that free trial page. And what you can do is you can set up ads to run to people who've landed on specific pages. So what we've done here is that we've set up an ad, and it doesn't matter whether this ad's been running for 2 months or 6 months. Absolutely no difference to Sally. She sees it for the first time because that's the first time she's visited that page. And that will continue to remind her for up to 180 days, as long as we want to. So we can set a pixel to continue to run for 180 days, but we don't have to. So if you kind of get the idea that if someone doesn't book the trial, go back and book it within 10 days of originally landing on it, that they're not going to bother, then let us not bother spending our money on it either. So we'd set the pixel up to only run for 10 days, and they will get the ad for 10 days after they've originally clicked on this free trial page. And that's where the benefit of the Facebook pixel comes into it. So when you're setting up your Facebook pixel, it's called a custom audience. And you can just pop the URL in, and then you can use ads. When you're setting up your ads, it will ask you what interests and things that you want to target. Instead of selecting an interest, you select your custom audience, which is people who've landed on that specific URL. Yep.
So
Yes. No, you don't pay for the pixel. You pay every time someone clicks on the ad and converts. So, okay, so you can set Facebook up to charge you in a number of different ways. I normally set ads up to do by conversion. So we will only get billed when people actually complete the trial form. Now, there's other ways to do it. You can do it based on click, which tends to be cheaper, but if you've got a very low converting form, then you're paying a lot for clicks that might not convert. So, you know, it's kind of six and a half a dozen, really. I normally set them up to do conversion because it's easier for me to report back on, I've gotten six conversions and they've cost me X number of dollars. The first one, the article promoting the power of ballet, the reason that she got that article is because she landed on the page that talked about ballet for, you know, 4 to 12-year-olds. And so we knew that the fact that she landed on that page on the website meant that she was looking at ballet for that age group. And what it allowed us to do was be more relevant to her because the ad image had some kids Lucy's age smiling back at her. And what you will find is the images are very, very powerful when it comes to Facebook ads. So the fact that it was kids Lucy's age that were in the ad makes a big difference. If you are promoting classes and they don't look relevant, they're not even going to get to the point where they read the ad enough to click. So whilst it can sometimes be hard when you do a lot of different classes for a lot of different age range, that's where it's good to just pick one or two. And once they start working, you can expand out and do more ads. But the more specific you can be, the better conversion rates you're going to get. Especially because what you have to think about is that these people are cold. I mean, they're slightly warmer once they've visited your website, but overall, they're getting a lot of ads in their newsfeed every single day. And the only way that you can stand out is if they feel like they're talking to yeah, that you're talking to them, okay? For the same way now that if you ever see an ad and it says studio owners, you're gonna stop scrolling, right? Because it appeals to you because you kind of identify with that. It's the same thing whether you're doing adult classes or whether you're doing, you know, children's ballet or hip hop, whatever it is, just pick the one thing that you feel like is going to appeal to them the most. Because the image is the first thing that will stop someone scrolling in their newsfeed. Generally speaking, it's the image that catches their eye first. And that doesn't necessarily mean that you need a very, very kind of like stock photo, bright image. It's not about that. It's about them going, this is relevant to me, and what does that as quickly as possible. Okay, so what I want you to think about too with these examples is, what happened to Studios A and B? Nothing. And the thing is that Studios A and B may not have been any better or worse than Studio C. But the thing is that because the narrative went, oh, this, they've reminded me, oh great, they've done this, they've done that, all of a sudden the conversation has shifted from, do I choose Studios A, B, and C, or, okay, right, let's just get the form filled out, let's make a commitment. She's forgotten about Studios A and B, and it has nothing to do, it's not the fault of Studios A and B, it's just that Studio C made it easy. Studio C was the one that was, when she had a quick 5 minutes when she was reading that article, when she was waiting on Lucy getting out of school, Studio C's article was the one that she read. And then when she's browsing on the couch, it was Studio C form that was straight in front of her. It's just convenient for her. So what I want you to start thinking about when you're creating content for cold audiences is that how can you just be more relevant than everyone else? How can you get to the point where, you know, and it comes back to the branding and the brand colors as well. When they start to see your ads and they start to get some familiarity with it, you know, because even once they read The Power of Ballet for primary children, that might not even get them over the line. Maybe it's got to do with something else. And so that doesn't mean that you can't start producing just, I'm maybe seeing 3 or 4 ads that just run to people that are visiting specific pages of your website with content that's really important. And the other thing is to think back to what are the sorts of things that are the first question that people ask when they come into your studio. So it was things like, how young is too young to get private music lessons? You know, what is the best sport for children who are incredibly shy? Okay, now you might be biased because you're going to suggest your studio and your activities, obviously. But the parent doesn't need to know that. When you're producing that article that says how to choose the best after-school activity for shy children, they're going to click on that article because they have a shy child, right? And then you can talk about how ballet brings out the best in people, how they can, you know, be involved as much as they want to at the beginning, how they can take their time. And all of a sudden, you're changing the conversation. You're guiding the conversation from, my child's really shy, I don't know if they're really going to do anything, to, you know what, ballet maybe is the best way to kind of bring them out of their shell. So you're using the content and the ability to target them to change what they're thinking, to guide the conversation towards committing to your studio. So I want you guys to ask yourself which studio you are at the moment and which studio you want to be. Because this doesn't have to be some major undertask where you spend all week sitting at home going, okay, so they're going to land on this page, and then I'm going to send them this ad. And then when they land on this one, I'm going to send them this one. And then when they get here, and you kind of like all of a sudden, you've got like this massive page running down the wall of all the scenarios, because that's not really what's needed. What I'm suggesting is just starting with, what are the most popular pages on my site? And it's probably some of your classes pages and maybe your FAQ page. And if people land on those sites and they're not committing to inquiries or trials, what other things could get them over the line? What could you start sending out to them, pretending that this is emails, you know? If this was an email and you had the opportunity to email them, what would you say to them? You know, and how can you create that as content instead that you can then give back to them as a Facebook ad? And then if you can get those working and you know that the content's great, then you can use that same content and go out to the purely cold people. So go straight to the local area of people who don't even know who you are. If you start with people who've landed on your website, we know they're warm, okay? So we know that they're at least in the kind of ballpark of knowing about your studio and wanting to know more about what it is that you do. So starting there and testing the content on them and seeing how the ads work for people who do not commit but are obviously interested is a great way to see whether the content is going to work. And if you can start to see a little bit of results there, then taking it out to the cold traffic will work just as well. It gives you some benchmark to work with if you don't want to go straight to cold. So in terms of creating your own Facebook content strategy, when you're creating ads to promote your studio to the local area, like I said, I want you to start, and this slide will go up, but this is really your action slide. I want you to focus on eye-catching imagery and one message. So don't try and communicate all your classes at once. Don't try and communicate the price and the days and the everything else. Just pick one thing that really focuses on the click. Be conscious of where they're going when they click. Is your homepage really the best place to send them? Is there somewhere else that you could be sending them that's better equipped to deal with the kind of questions or the commitment that they're going to have when they get there? And remember that you're guiding the conversation, so take them to the relevant place, whether that be the classes page or the booking form, whatever it is. So in this case, you know, we had the article, and then we also had an ad going to the trial form because we knew they'd already gotten to that stage. We just need to get them over the line. If you've got ads that you're promoting to studio for website visitors, you've obviously got the same as above if you want to just do ads that are promoting your studio. And then you've got the ability to promote specific classes when they've visited your website. So you can have a ballet class, ballet ad specifically for people who've landed on that website or the Kinder Music page or whatever it may be. You can start to know exactly what's relevant to them based on what they've done on your website. And then ask yourself, could they benefit from content? You know, what does the page that they've landed on tell you about them? Where they're at? Are they ready to commit? And then ads to promote your activity to your local area is kind of what we've been talking about here. So this is where we can get creative with content. We need to think about what are the biggest questions, the concerns, the beliefs, the objections that you students normally have. How can we start to produce that education before they even get to our website in the first place? Or sorry, in the ads so that they come to the website. We're answering those things before they even start. You know, things like how young is too young for private piano lessons? Is ballet really the best activity if my child's extremely shy? My child loves to sing but isn't vocally that strong. Should I let her get lessons? These are the sorts of questions that people have got. And so why not answer them with content in ads? And that will get them over the line. Yep.
So if you have someone who visits your website and they go to a few different pages,
yep.
Will people be on the last page they visit? Or
it will trigger on all of them. So if you have an ad, say, on your inquiry form page and your classes page, and you've got ads associated with people visiting those pages, they'll get both sets of ads. Now, I guess what you've got to keep in mind is it's like the emails. They're not going to see both ads straight after each other. The chances of them seeing all of the ads at once are pretty slim. Obviously, Facebook's got an algorithm. It takes into account what other ads that person is going to be targeted with at that particular time. So there isn't really any issue with that. What you can do with Facebook pixels is that you can say, if someone has visited this this page and this page, then I'm going to create an audience of those people. So you can say, I want to target people who've visited my classes page but haven't landed on the inquiry form page yet. And so I can have an ad specifically promoting the inquiry form or the trial class page to people who've visited the classes page but they haven't seen that trial form page yet. So once you, when you all, you know, all get home, go into Ads Manager, look at custom audiences, and just have a look at how you create them. It sounds really kind of, I guess, a lot to take in, you know, when we're talking about it here. But if you have a look in Ads Manager and go to custom audiences, you'll be able to see that there is an option to just put URLs in. Now, as long as you've got your pixel on your website, it will be able to start, you know, generating them for you, which is why it's important that the very first thing you do is put the pixel on your website. Was there any other questions?
Facebook ads have just changed recently. I'm trying to get my head around it.
Yeah. So the actual Facebook ads haven't changed. What they decided, because they're very smart people and they've clearly got more time on their hands than they need, is they decided to change the setup of how it looks. Okay, so I guess what you need to keep in mind is if you set Facebook ads up before, it's the same thing. It's just where you find the things has changed. What you've got to keep in mind is a campaign, always uses a campaign as kind of like, what am I going to promote? Okay, so the campaign is this. Then you've got your ad set. Your ad set is, who am I going to send this ad to? Okay, and then you've got the actual ad, which is, what am I wanting to say in this ad? So if you think about it like that, it used to be, I mean, there was a time where you had to physically download and upload data all the time when you did Facebook ads, and that was even more of a pain. But now you'll see it, there's like little tabs, campaign, ad sets, ads, and that's how you need to think about it. Campaign is me choosing my name and what kind of ad this is. Normally I do conversions, you might want to do clicks, it just depends on what ad you're trying to do. But this is more like, what is my ad going to, like, what am I going to do with this ad? And then ad set is, who am I going to target? And then ads is, what am I going to target them by saying?
I think it was the change of how boosting a post to was impressions, and I'm still trying to get my head around impressions.
Yeah, so impressions is how many people have potentially, like, how many people it's been sent out to. Now, it can be different from how many people have seen it, right? Because you know how fast you scroll through your newsfeed. That would count as an impression. You didn't necessarily see the ad. What you want to kind of keep an eye on in terms of the stats is the click-through rate. Now, obviously, this is going to be entirely different for everyone. But things like 1% sounds really low, but it's actually fairly average to get 1%. Now, because you guys might be targeting much smaller areas, you'd like that to be a little bit higher, but you just got to think about those ads that you're targeting to people who visited your website but didn't commit are likely to have a higher click-through rate because you know that they're relevant. Whereas when you target broader audiences, there's always going to be a component of that audience that isn't relevant to what you're trying to do. So you want to try and find a balance between, like, with your boosting posts, it's a little bit easier because you kind of just click a few buttons and it's done. One of the things you might want to get used to as a next step up from boosting posts is that inside Ads Manager, you can actually set it up as an ad and then just select your post as the ad. And the reason I say that is because that there's more targeting options inside the Ads Manager. So that might be the next step from boosting. Mm-hmm. Yep.
The Facebook Pixel, does it work on any web platform or only WordPress?
No, so it works on any web platform. It also works in a lot of softwares as well. So I know that there is some, and Elka, wherever you are, where are you? You had problems with your software. Which one? Studio Director has problems with Pixels. So I'm sure at one point I'll get around to having a chat with them about that, but it can be really frustrating. But basically you want the pixel anywhere where people are going to land, because as soon as Sally committed to signing up for that trial class, we want to stop all ads. And the only way we can do that is if she landed on a page that has a pixel, so that we can say when we set up the ads, anyone who lands on this page, stop the ads, right? So we need to know what that page is, which is why we've had issues in the past with some of the software. Generally, any website that has any kind of analytics or tracking code areas will have it, and most will, because most allow Google Analytics, and it's a similar code to Google Analytics. Yeah.
With the one that stops the ads going out,
yep.
Is that like when you put that trigger goes on the thank you page, once they've actually completed the form?
Exactly.
Not on the form page, but that doesn't guarantee they're giving you the
just because they've landed, exactly. Yep. So the pixel on the trial page tells you they've landed on the trial page. The pixel on the thank you page tells you they completed the form.
Yeah,
so you want the pixel that triggers to tell the ads to stop to be the one on the thank you page, because that's when you know they've definitely completed the form. They've moved to the next step. And you can do that inside your ads manager. There's an option to include audiences and an option to exclude audiences. And so you just exclude the thank you page audience. Yeah.
And how do I get it again?
So in your ads manager, just go to pixels, and if you haven't got one, it will ask you to create one. If you've got a developer or someone that you work with, they probably can install it for you. It is free, and it just goes into the code of your website. So
in the website.
Yeah, there's an option when you set up your pixel to just click email to my developer, I think it's called, because they know that a lot of people get confused with it. So you click that button and you put in their email address and it sends them an email with the code for you. So you can do it like that. Obviously, if you're joining Evolution, the VA can do it for you as well, which might make it nice and easy for you. And in terms of like setting up and starting, if you've never run ads before, then start with a really simple one, like start with ads promoting your studio to the local area. That's why I've put it at the top. These are kind of like your hierarchy. So the ones where you're promoting your activity with content to cold traffic, like that's for the people who are already, you know, looking for what's the next step. Like, I feel like my ads have been running for a while and you know, how do I reach more people? Like, surely everybody's seen my ad by now, because a lot of you will get to the point where you feel a little bit like that. You're talking about a very, you know, a local area. There's only so many people that the ad can target. This is where you go after you've done that. So if you're just starting out with ads, just start with a really simple ad to your local area. Pick a class, a really popular class, or you know, if you're doing your Ripple projects, pick your, you know, whichever one you're working on, and just focus on once. Just be very conscious of where you're sending them from the ad. And there's a question at the back. Yep. Yep. That's okay. Yeah, so you're talking about attribution. So attribution across the world in marketing is a pain, because what happens is, right, if someone clicks on your ad and they go to your website and they don't convert, and then they might find you through Google, and then they find your trial page and they convert that way, which one was the one that got them over the line? You're not really sure, because maybe they wouldn't have ever Googled you if they didn't get the ad in the first place, and, you know, and so, you know, I do 7 days. And the reason I do 7 days is because people get distracted. People like Sally get distracted. I want to know if she remembered about that original article or whether it was the second ad that got her over the line. So it really depends what you're trying to do. But generally speaking, you want to know if the ad had influence in that, right? And that's why sometimes you're going to have to be careful about going, my ad manager tells me that I've got 50 conversions, so I should have 50 people in my database, because sometimes it can be a little bit out for a whole range of reasons. And so whilst it's good to go, this is my budget, always check that what Facebook's telling you is what your email marketing's telling you, or your CRM, and your CRM's right. Sometimes Facebook can be a few people off. Maybe some people have refreshed the page at the wrong minute or whatever it may be. So I wouldn't worry about it too much, but just keep in mind that if Facebook is a few conversions off, it's not the end of the world and you haven't done anything wrong. Yeah. Yep.
I can't find that in Parage. I have to do it through adverts on my phone. I'm just totally lost at trying to actually find where that individual campaign
might be. Yeah. I don't know off the top of my mind, but what I would say is that it might be easier to do weekly budgets, and in that way you'll only need to look at it once a week rather than daily, because what you might find as well is that some days it's more active than others. And so if you do it so that it's got a weekly spend instead of a daily spend, you might find that it you'll start to see peaks of when the best times. So I would do weekly. Was there any more? We've got a few more minutes if anyone else has got questions. Or now everybody's just like, I think I just need to process this and go away and have a sleep. Yeah, one pixel. Okay, so if anyone has been doing Facebook ads for more than about 6 months, you would have before had to create a new pixel every time you wanted a pixel on any of your pages. Now it's just one pixel, and you separate them using custom audiences. And where the pixel used to be in terms of, I want to use this pixel to tell me when people do X, that's custom conversions. Okay, so a custom conversion is they've landed on they've completed my trial page, or they've signed up for the new term. These kind of like key things you want to track, the things that the ad has done its job if they do this thing, that's a custom conversion. Custom audience is, I want to target people who've visited these pages with this ad. So that's the difference, and they're both in there. So one pixel, but now you've got two places where the pixel gets used. And there is a question out there.
Yep. Budgets and
yep.
Says, you pay X amount, it's going to reach X
yep.
people if you boost it this much, whatever.
Yep.
What's the kind of starting point where they actually do make a good impact?
Yeah.
But
budget's kind of, I guess, one of those things where, well, how much do you want to spend? But what I would say is that when you pick your initial spend and you want to increase, never increase by more than 50%, and only ever edit your ads once every 24 hours. Otherwise, what will start happening is Facebook doesn't have time to keep up with the changes you're making before you make more changes. Okay, so what we do is we pick a same time every day, and we go in and we look at the ads, we make our decisions, and then that's it, hands off for the rest of the day. And when you first put your ads live, nothing for the first 48 hours. Unless it's like accidentally spent your inheritance and you need to turn them off, leave them. Give them time.
Yeah.
Yep.
So you really, it's tempting to go and change things all the time, but I want to really encourage you that we get the best results after even like
a yeah, it's called pixel seasoning. So
seasoning.
So basically the more people that land on that action page, that thank you page or whatever it may be, where they've taken the action and Facebook can go, oh, I'm doing it right. It's like a dog, right? When you train it, the more treats you give it, it goes, oh, I'm going to do more of that. I'm going to do more of that. So the more people that land on the thank you page and Facebook goes, I did it right. I got another one. The more it starts finding more people like that. So it gets better and better and better at its job the longer you leave it on. So you might want to start with lower budgets, even $10 a day. And just slowly increase if it's working. And then that way you don't need to worry about, oh my God, and then you panic and you turn it off because it will not perform the same when you turn it back on.
I think I'm just, as far as, like, is there sort of, if you're going to commit to it, you sort of commit to it at a high level rather than trickling?
No, it's fine. It's fine at a lower level. Just obviously understand it's going to take longer. So if you're going to have to pay $15 per conversion, so $15 to get someone in for a trial, say, and you're only spending $5 a day, you're going to have to be patient and understanding that it may be 4, 5, 6 days before you get your first one.
Yeah.
So that's really why I'm like, well, it's up to how much you want to spend. Yeah, because you start to freak out. Like, it gets to $30, $40, and you're like, no one has signed up. And then you go to bed, and you wake up, and three people have, right? And so all of a sudden, you're like, okay, I only have to spend $10 to get someone in. Okay, that's okay. But the freak out will hit pressure point, but just don't turn the ads off. Obviously, you know, go, well, Louise told me not to turn them off, and now I spent like $1,000 and I got no one. That's not what I'm saying, but just it takes time. And especially if you're getting no conversions, it's going to take longer. It needs to get those conversions to know what it's doing right, like a dog. Especially if you're, yeah. Especially if you're really good at converting people. If you know, if that's a trial, for instance, and if you're really great at converting people when they get in, is it really the end of the world? And what I will say is, if all the people in your area are panicking when it gets to $5 and they turn their ads off, you're the only one left on because you're the only one willing to spend that money, and so you're getting them all. So let everybody else panic, and you just sit back and be like, you know what, it's not too bad. The reason we brought the ecosystem up at the beginning too is because what I want you to understand is once you've done attraction, you've got the other two as well. So you can start thinking about how do I get my current students excited about bring a friend along day, all those sorts of things. So you can start to apply what we've talked about to the other two sections as well. But the attraction one is obviously where you would start this sort of strategy.
Don't you wish you had Lou on speed up? Okay, so let's say you've been getting emails for how many years from people? You've got this database of like 6 years worth of email addresses. And what you can do then is you put that into a spreadsheet, and literally you just do one column. I've got name, email. And then what this is so cool. You upload that into Facebook, and then Facebook takes all those people who have inquired to your studio, and it goes, oh, and it kind of makes this dream student avatar.
Yep.
And then Facebook says, okay, these are the characteristics of people who are interested in my studio. And then Facebook goes out and we send ads to the custom audience. We call it a lookalike audience.
Yep.
So it's who looks like the custom audience. So who are similar kind of characteristics of people who have inquired. And then we send ads to them. So you do the custom audience to be able to create a profile of your dream student. And then we send lookalike ads to your dream. I mean, is that not like the coolest?
Facebook is always going to be better at finding the right people than you are. So whilst it's really great to type in all these interests and go, oh, well, if they like Disney and they like X and they like X and they live in Coogee, then they're going to be mine. You can go, you know what, I'm just going to upload my database. So a custom audience is two things. You can either have it, they visited my website and they visited these URLs. That's a custom audience. The other one is I'm going to upload my audience, my list, and then I'm going to hit create lookalike. And I can create it just from my area, and I'm going to hit the button, and now it's created a whole lookalike of people. And so when you get into your ad, you click the lookalike, you click your geography of how far out from your suburb you want to target, and your targeting is done for you. And Facebook is generally better at doing it than you are.
It's so cool. It's like magic stalking.
You can upload whatever you want. So
the more names you give, the more.
I've uploaded 10,000 before, so
what's the least you've uploaded?
I think it's 250, I think. But what I will say is the more information you can give Facebook, the more accurate it's gonna get. So the more likely it is to find those things that are in common. Because all you can do is target by interests or pages that they like, right?
Well,
it can start thinking about things it's visited. I mean, you start to think about how, you know, Facebook is starting to get into everyday lives here. It knows if they've got kids. They might not have put that in their profile, but it knows by the pages that they've been visiting. So generally, it's better at doing it than you. And if you're having trouble with interests, try lookalikes. I'm not saying it will work better, but generally speaking, it's a really good thing. No, we export it. We just hit the export button, and then you pray that the internet's going to hold up long enough.
I mean, the
data that Facebook has is unbelievable. It's like, you know, like when you, like, you post like an engagement photo, like what, 3 years ago for me, and then like suddenly it's like you get flooded with like wedding kind of things, and then suddenly like you post a wedding photo, and then suddenly it's like, is your fertility lacking?
And heaven forbid you post a photo with your friend's baby, because.
But it's amazing, and then you know you. It's quite like, it's kind of like, oh.
And I'll give you a ninja tip as well. If you're ever like, why am I getting that ad? In the top hand, right-hand corner, there's a little triangle. Click on it, and it says, why am I seeing this? Click on it, and it'll tell you exactly why you're seeing that ad. Yeah, no, I don't. Well, that's good for you, and it's actually good for the people too, because if they're paying to get in front of you and you're not interested, then.
I just don't want them to do it.
So just one more thing on that. So the database is just emails that I'm giving Facebook, and that thing is doing searching around. That's it.
Magic.
Yeah.
Just my email address.
Yeah. So literally a spreadsheet, and then you do like the first column, no other things, just emails, and then you export it as a CSV file, which is Excel file.
You click on create new custom audience, and it will say, are you doing it by URL, or are you doing it by uploading a database? You upload the database, and it's just email addresses. You can put first name and last name in if you want. You have to own it, so you have to have permission to market to them if you want to do it, just because you can run ads to that list as well. That's a custom audience in itself. So if you wanted to run ads to your current students because you've got a competition coming up or something coming up, you can run ads as well. Not necessarily, no. It's just another way of targeting. So, you know, it's just while you can pick age groups and you can pick interests, this is just saying, you know what, Facebook, you give it a crack and see what happens. Sorry.
And she'll be around in the break.
Yeah, I will. I'm going to be in the break.
has that opened your world?
Thank you.